This episode of Thinking Sideways is not brought to you by those stupid little earbuds that fall out of your ears all the time. Instead, it's sponsored by Sleep Phones, the world's most comfortable headphones for sleeping, traveling, or listening to your favorite podcast, us. Sleep Phones are a podcast listener's dream. They're super thin. They're super high quality audio speakers that are hidden neatly into a super comfy and pretty cute headband. Sleep Phones come in Bluetooth, wireless, or corded, and tons of different fabrics. So you really just have to try them. They are so comfortable. I can't even tell you, you just have to try them. And shocker, Thinking Sideways listeners can save $5 off of any Sleep Phone product at sleepphones.com just by entering the promo code SIDEWAYS at checkout. So that's sleepphones.com with the promo code SIDEWAYS and you save $5. Check them out.
Thinking Sideways.
I don't get it.
I brought the aliens.
You must unlearn what you have learned.
I don't know.
Stories of things we simply don't know the answer to.
Hi there, and welcome to another episode of Thinking Sideways. I'm your host this week, joined, as always, by...
Steve.
And...
Devin.
And...
What's
your name?
Oh, I'm Joe.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Sorry. Did I not say my name?
No.
Okay. Oh, I'm Joe. Yeah, sorry. Okay, what are we going to talk about this week? Did we have any script for this week?
I don't know. You were the boss of it, man.
Okay. Well, here, I've got one here. This is from the bottom of my suitcase.
Great.
This is the death of Hugues de la Plaza, and that's spelled, just so you know, it's H-U-G-U-E-S. That's a French
name. One of those French words.
It's not a French name, but it's pronounced Hugues de la Plaza. He was killed in San Francisco in June 2007, so almost 10 years ago.
He died in San Francisco.
Yeah, he died. I guess I should say he died. First of all, before we go any further, I want to give a shout-out to our listener, Andrew, who suggested this mystery, and who probably is a killer also, but just trying to keep it alive.
This is a cry for attention to get caught.
I think so, Andrew. You're not fooling us, but thanks anyway. And hopefully he didn't kill him just to create a mystery for us, but this is before we started recording. So
yeah, we're safe.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
That's one of the reasons we have that five-year rule.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So quick biographical stuff on Hugues de la Plaza. He was French, but he had dual French-American citizenship. His parents still live in France. As far as I know, they're still alive today. And by the way, they would still like to know exactly what happened,
mm-hmm.
because he did have a strange, mysterious death, and there are some really big unanswered questions. Last I heard, they put up a $100,000 reward for any information regarding Hugues' demise, and... As far as I know, the reward is still around. Have you guys heard anything one way or the other?
I haven't heard anything to the contrary, but I hadn't really tracked down the reward part.
Oh, back to Hugues. He had lived in the U.S. I believe he lived in New York for a little while, then moved to San Francisco. He had been in SF for about 4 years. And then in 2007, at age 36, well, he died. And that's what we're going to talk about, is why did he die? What else did he do? He worked while he was there at a company called Leapfrog, which is an educational toy and software.
Yeah,
Pad. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows who Leapfrog
mm-hmm.
is.
Oh, yeah, they're around, and they're still cranking out those devices to educate your kids and all that stuff. So they're big, actually. And he was, I guess, a sound engineer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so sounds like a good job. One of those high-paying Bay Area jobs.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be one of the 1%ers.
Was that during the tech bubble?
No, the tech bubble was a little earlier. That was late 90s.
Okay, you're right, every time I think of that kind of general area, I'm like, was it in the bubble or not? But it was still going to be a good paying job.
Well,
working
you know,
the Leapfrog.
It might turn out that it is in the bubble, just the second bubble. We'll find out.
The 17th layer of the bubble.
I mean, it's possible. Yeah.
It's entirely possible.
The world is a bubble.
Yeah, well, there's bubbles all around us. But anyway, back to our mystery. Hugues also had a long-term girlfriend for about 4 years. Her name was Melissa Nix. And if you've read any of the websites or news specials about this show, you've heard of her. They had unfortunately broken up by the time our mystery occurred, and he was dating around, apparently dating quite a lot.
He was a ladies' man.
Apparently, yeah, that French accent didn't hurt, right?
No.
Yeah, no.
He was also an attractive young man.
No, not a bad-looking guy. He's got the heavy eyebrows, and that's one of the things that, you know, chicks dig, is heavy eyebrows on a guy. It says testosterone or something. I don't know what. Yeah, but they do like that. And he had really heavy eyebrows.
He was French.
Yeah, was that it? Okay.
I have no idea.
He was also, besides meeting girls in bars, which apparently he was very good at, he would also meet them online. And in fact, on the date of his death, he had a first date with somebody they had met online. So I think we got our, well, we don't know he was murdered, do we? I was going to name her as the killer, but I guess I can't quite do that yet.
No.
Yeah. And I guess that actually was the day before his death, because technically he died in the wee hours of June 2nd, 2007. Mm. But the date was on in the evening, Friday, June 1st.
Mm-hmm.
But according to one of Hoog's friends, he was out to get as much you-know-what as he possibly could, and he didn't really care where he got it. Mm-hmm. He was not discriminating, and he wasn't really worried about if somebody had a boyfriend or a husband or whatever. Mm-hmm. He just didn't care. And, of course, that could be said for a lot of guys.
True.
Probably most guys, really.
Well, yeah, that's kind of true. So if they have the means, they'll do it.
Yeah, I'm not dissing Oog by any means, so don't get me wrong here. But,
yeah.
But he kind of had a one-track mind. He was looking for lots of you-know-what. But to repeat, he did have a first date with somebody that he had met online. That was on Friday evening. And I don't know if he cut the date short, but he wound up meeting with friends later on.
Well, he had said the date, he told his friends that the date didn't go so well.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And so maybe he just sort of like made an excuse and got out of there and met his friends to go drinking instead.
Or maybe she did the same, or maybe she said, "It was nice to meet you. I have to go." I mean, yeah. There's a thousand ways.
I was going
to
say, in my brain, when he said it didn't go well, it's because he wasn't like in her bed. He
getting
was out
lucky,
getting
yeah.
drinks with his friends.
Mm-hmm. Maybe,
right.
Maybe that's what he meant too. I don't know. It could have been. Or it could have been she just sat there staring at his abdomen and she was fingering this really big knife. But. Well, no, don't. I'm getting ahead of myself here. But for whatever reason, it didn't work out. He didn't get any you-know-what. So he's meeting with his friends at this place called Underground SF, which is on Haight Street in San Francisco, not far from his apartment. Haight Street is spelled, for those of you who don't know, H-A-I-G-H-T. It's not H-A-T-E. It's like, yeah. And,
is that an angry street?
Yeah, no, not at all. It was about 6 blocks from his apartment, I think. And
that would explain why they met there. It's just very convenient for him.
Yeah, very handy for him. Yeah, totally. And apparently they celebrated Oog's promotion at work. He'd gotten a promotion, making more money or something. While he was there, of course, he told his friend Neil Zarama that the date had not gone well.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
To me, I guess, I don't know. It's just weird to me that you would plan a date and then plan a party with your friends like a couple hours later.
It's a Friday afternoon. It could have been as simple as a meet for happy hour drinks, quote unquote, date.
First date.
I've done this where it's like, hey, do you want to grab a happy hour drink or a cup of coffee? Because the great thing about having a first date in that situation is you're just having a drink. So you're not tied to wait for a meal or anything like that. Yeah. And being happy hour, it's cheap. So if the whole thing sucks, you're out $5.
Yeah.
And boom, done, yeah. Gone.
Totally. I guess, in my mind, he was after one thing, and that one thing doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be a short endeavor, but he probably
told her at the outset. He probably said, "Look, you know, let's get together, let's have a few drinks, but I've got to meet my friends later."
Yeah, maybe.
For drinks.
And then
he was all set to probably ditch his friends and go home with her if that occurred.
That's
right?
Fair. Yeah.
Or you know, let's make a night of it. And you want to come? It's going good. You want to come with me?
Yeah.
I've had situations like that. Where it's like, listen, I got to go to this thing. You want to come along? Mm. Cool. Let's keep going. I mean, there's
with all of your girlfriends.
Yeah.
That you have currently.
Yeah.
On top of your wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not on top of my wife.
Well, yeah, but anyway, that didn't wind up happening, so he was drinking with the buds. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem that the bad date really crushed Oog's spirits, because I think he was playing the numbers and lots of fish in the sea and all that.
Yeah.
He probably already had somebody else lined up for Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, she's probably still wondering why he never showed up.
And it's worth noting that it wasn't as though he came and was really despondent and like upset that this date hadn't gone well.
He just
said, it didn't go well. Let's get on with our night.
No, he was actually, according to his friends, in a very good mood.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I feel like that's important
a
to set up the rest of the night.
Oh, yeah.
That
yeah.
we make sure that it's very clear that he was in a good mood.
Not mopey, not depressed. And he certainly didn't say anything about fearing for his life or they're out to get me or, you know, if I wind up dead, you know, it's going to be because.
Or I'm really sad.
Or ranting
so
about
alone.
Lizard people, anything like that.
Yeah.
The octopus.
Yeah. I mean, of course, there is this one theory, which is that actually things seemed to be really going well for him. He'd been promoted. He was doing well financially.
Mm-hmm.
Living in San Francisco, you know, which is a nice, cool town.
It is.
Getting lots and lots of you-know-what.
Mm-hmm.
And he might have decided that, you know, it's not going to get any better than this. It's only downhill from here, so I might as well go out on a high note and commit suicide.
Yeah, I don't know of anybody that actually does that.
No,
so
I don't either.
We can not include that when theories come up.
I would agree with that.
So Oog left his friends and left Underground SF about 1:45 a.m. Mm-hmm. Saturday morning in the wee hours. And he told Niels Arama, his friend and coworker, that he'd get together with them the next day to ride motorcycles together.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that never happened, unfortunately.
Yeah, apparently Neil called him multiple times.
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday both. And
yeah.
Like leaving him angry messages saying, where are you at, loser, or something like that. And he had no idea, of course.
I wonder why he never called him.
I don't know. We'll find out. Yeah, as our mystery progresses here. The usual eyewitness reports, Oog was reportedly seen by somebody at the intersection of Haight and Webster about 2:15 a.m.
That seems like a weird timeline, doesn't it?
A little bit.
Because he's only like 6 blocks from his house.
Yeah, and he left his friends at 1:45.
Yeah.
And so it is kind of hard to say. I mean, maybe he actually bumped into some people on his way towards the front door and bumped into some more people outside. I mean, who knows?
Mm-hmm. Or maybe he could have swung by the bathroom on the way out.
Or maybe his friends, like, you know, somebody misread the clock. You know,
if they were all drinking, it's pretty unreliable sources of exactly what time it was.
Well, we also don't know how the person who saw him was keeping time. I mean, a fast watch or a fast clock
or they may have
estimate.
Simply based it on, they may have said, they called closing time and I was outside and 5 minutes later I saw Oog, so it must have been after two, not understanding that bar time is always 15 minutes faster.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. A thousand ways that could have gone wrong.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, they totally are. And then he was caught, so the distance from the front door of the club and the intersection of Haight and Webster is about 150 feet.
Yeah, so.
So, yeah, that's not too far. So
no.
I think somebody's time was a little bit off there.
Mm-hmm.
But he was also spotted on a security camera near his apartment at 2:06 a.m. Although this idea is a little bit suspect. It's not a clear. One of these days, security cameras are actually going to discover that thing called high resolution. They're not there yet, but one of these days.
It was really dark.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen the image.
Yeah.
And they had to adjust the image to see the silhouette that they believe is Oog.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, it doesn't really matter too much. I mean, it's nice to have that timeline for the murder.
It does help tie things together.
Yeah, I mean, if what you were saying is right and somebody was like 15 minutes off in their time and they saw him at 2 a.m., I could see him getting back to his apartment about 2:06 or so.
Yeah.
It's not very far.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Not at all. So he easily could have made it back in that time. But he did, long story short, make it home. It appears that he actually got home, ate a little food because there was a plate that had some rice and peas on it on his kitchen counter.
Yeah.
So he ate a little bit. It also appears
post-bar food.
Yeah.
Absorbed the booze.
Exactly. And
what was he absorbing the booze with?
Rice and peas.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Not what I would choose.
No, me neither, but hey.
Greasy bacon or something.
Well, that's
like that.
Why we're not French, probably.
I usually use, like, more booze to absorb the booze.
Yeah,
that really works
too.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't work.
Yeah. And then sleep.
Well,
sleep absorbs the booze pretty well.
Sleep's a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but whatever.
Okay, so he ate.
Okay, so he had some food.
Had a little food. Surfed some websites for maybe approximately half an hour. I guess
more dating websites?
I think mostly dating websites, yeah. So
okay.
He had, like I said, kind of a one-track mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then some things happened, and not in any particular order, but he was stabbed 3 times. He went outside to the sidewalk in front of his apartment building. He came back inside, locked the deadbolt to his front door, staggered around the apartment until he bled to death. And it looks like from the blood trail, he like staggered kind of into the kitchen, like through the hallway into the kitchen, and then back out into the living room and eventually fell down and
it
died.
Wasn't a coherent path.
Not really, no, not at all. But, you know, I'd never been stabbed 3 times, so, hey, no, I mean, yeah.
I don't think it's possible to have a coherent path when you're stabbed 3 times like that, but
yeah.
Anyway.
But he walked past his cell phone at least once, didn't pick it up to call 911. There were no bloody fingerprints on the cell phone. And he didn't yell for help. There were sort of signs of a struggle, like his TV and some other stuff was knocked over, but... you know, so maybe he was in a fight to the death with somebody in his apartment, or maybe he was just staggering around and knocking stuff over randomly, too. Hard to say.
So I know you're going to describe the wound shortly, but based on the amount of blood loss, I mean, when you go and people are going to go look for the crime scene photos, and they're out there,
yeah,
and there is literally blood everywhere. Yeah. On the walls, on the floor, on the tables. I mean, the place is coated in Oog's blood.
Oh, yeah. Well, he had three stab wounds.
He had at least one major wound that was gushing.
Oh, yeah. And that one major wound would have been enough to exsanguinate him in about a minute.
Right. So,
you know? I mean, that's quick. Yeah. That's a lot of gushing blood.
So I just want to say is that, you know, when we talk about this, is there's literally blood everywhere, and there's like handprints on the wall where you can see him kind of falling and sliding. And that's why it looks so incoherent, because there is so much spray going on.
Mm-hmm. Kind of hard to do a real blood spatter analysis there.
Really is.
Yeah, it's kind of an embarrassment of riches there. But as I said before, those things also did not happen in that order. He was stabbed, yes. He did go out to the sidewalk, yes. We don't know which happened first, although I have an idea myself personally.
I do
but,
too.
You know, yeah. But let's just say for the sake of saying that we don't know 100% for sure here. Time of death was placed by the medical examiner between 2 and 4 a.m., but some neighbors heard a ruckus about 2:38 a.m., which included, I think, a door slamming and somebody running down some stairs and a body falling over.
I think there was one or two door slams that happened.
Yeah. And and so there was a big thud. And that was around 2:38. And so that's what I'm guessing.
Everything started happening, yeah.
That's what I'm guessing he died, yeah. And then the next morning, one of Oog's neighbors came out to get his paper, and he saw there was blood on the stoop outside the apartment building. And this apartment building, you can find it, it's at 462 Linden Street, San Francisco, on Street View. You can see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a modest little wooden building.
It's got cute.
Like four apartments. Yeah.
Yeah.
Four apartments. It's got a porch on it with like, what, four or five steps up from the sidewalk.
There's two separate stone entrances, but yes.
Yeah, and then there's like three mm-hmm. doors in there and in the front of it, and so like a shared kind of porch thing there. And so I assume that's where the blood all was.
It was on the concrete.
And the sidewalk too, I believe.
So the stuff that is on the sidewalk looks like it is splattered over. Most of the blood is on the landing, and then the first and the second step. Mm. It doesn't really go down beyond that.
I guess I disagree with that, but...
That's the way it looked, at least in the photos I saw. But there's, I mean, there's blood all over the
place. It just looks like drops to me on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like a couple drops,
steps. When I say not on the sidewalk, I mean not on actual street-level sidewalk.
There is. Yeah, there's drips there.
Okay.
There were drips. They're just not.
There's like a couple drips, and then like a couple more drips, and then the stairs. And
that's when
you
really started
area.
Gushing. Yeah. Okay, so I had this report here from Michael Ferenc. I think that was the name pronounced. He's a forensic pathologist. who a couple of years after the murder, about a year and a half, I guess, reviewed all the evidence, including all the crime scene photos, the blood spatter evidence. Mm-hmm. And he said, quote, "The bloodshed evidence begins on the front door steps and sidewalk." So that was unquote. So there was some. I don't think there was a lot on the sidewalk, but there was some blood spatter on the sidewalk.
It's not a big deal.
No, it's not.
I probably made a bigger deal than it should have been.
That's okay. That's all right. That gives us more time. we were back to the neighbor. He came out to get his paper, saw the blood. He calls the cops. The cops get there at 8:20 a.m. They immediately deduce that something had happened, and they put up some yellow tape.
And that's about the best thing they did in this case.
Yeah, so far. Yeah, they haven't distinguished themselves terribly. Of course, no. But
so let's talk about his wounds.
Yeah, let's talk about the wounds. So there were three of them, mm-hmm. as you guys probably know. And I guess it's hard to say. I've always assumed that it was a straight thrust to the abdomen and then a downward stab to the chest.
Mm-hmm.
And then another downward stab at the base of the neck on the left side in the front. So
basically
it went sort of into where the neck joins the abdomen.
Just above your collarbone, kind of?
And kind of behind the collarbone. And that was, and I've always assumed that it started with the down and then up, and then the coup de grace was in the neck. But I guess that's not entirely cast in stone. I mean, it could have been in any order.
The description that I saw that made the most sense was that it was his stomach was first. He would automatically bend over, at which point somebody could stab forward again and cut him in the chest. and then stab forward again and hit him in the neck while he's bent over from the waist. Because, you know, your automatic reaction when something hits you in your gut is to grab your gut and bend over.
That's
why I presumed after I read that, I was like, oh, yeah, that makes the most sense as to what order these could have happened in.
That makes sense. Yeah, another thing I thought is that maybe somebody stabbed directly and then shifted the knife in their hand and it stabbed downward.
See, that seems awkward to me.
Yeah, and so, anyway, however they did it, they managed to stick him really good. And that last one, Devin's making stabbing no buts here.
This is one of those stories where there's going to be a lot of gesticulation happening.
Sorry, I was just thinking, like, you could do, like, down, and then, like back around, like standing. Yeah.
Like they do in the movies.
This
I'm handing her a magic wand, a Harry Potter wand.
I am not standing in front of you.
and then down,
and then, like, turn around and, like.
And
but that would require him to not move.
Yeah.
What you just demonstrated, what you just described, would require him.
So you think it's like stab,
forward
and then
stab,
he bends over,
and then stab.
That's good aim.
Not necessarily. If it's a double-edged knife and the guy bends over and you just give him two quick punches forward, you're just gonna hit him where you hit him, and one of them's the lucky shot.
I guess I'm willing to say it's like a quick stab to the gut, and while he's going down, you like catch him in the chest, and then you catch him in the neck as he's.
That's what I'm saying.
I see. Okay. I'm just gonna keep stabbing with this wand.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful
wand,
actually.
Nice wand. Yeah. That's from our listener Dylan. Thanks,
yeah,
Dylan.
Thanks.
Using
it as a good prop. Yeah.
I now have to sit farther away.
Actually, I think she's holding it for self-defense. It's got a pointy end on it. Yeah. She's ready to stab it.
Why has she filed it down to a sharp point? I want to know. Why is there a razor blade embedded in it?
She painted this stuff on it, too.
There are a couple different ways these wounds could have happened.
Yeah, it could have. I like the idea, and I tend to think that the neck wound happened last because that was the gusher. I think that if that had been the first one, then there would have been more blood on the ground where the stabbing occurred or wherever it occurred. And then we would have probably gotten a set of footprints from the killer.
Mm.
There were no footprints from anybody other than Oog.
Well,
they were the only footprints at the crime scene.
There's another reason that could be, but let's keep talking about how. Yeah. So it could have been stabbed, as Steve was saying, one grip, one, two, three, gut, chest, neck.
Or one grip, stab, and then shift grip, so reverse the knife in your hand and then
stab downward
twice.
Uh-huh. Or
it could have been two people with knives.
Could have been two people.
Yeah, could have been, actually.
Or there's one more theory, right, is that...
It could have been a right-handed guy stabbing himself and committing suicide.
Yeah.
And it's been said by, I think the medical examiner in this case, that his wounds are not inconsistent with self-inflicted wounds. I mean,
it would be really hard.
That would be really painful.
Yeah, it's kind of, especially when you think about committing harikiri, It's like you think of the idea of stabbing in your abdomen and pushing up and gutting yourself kind of, but reaching up and stabbing yourself kind of in the neck, that's kind of problematical for me.
The whole thing of doing it yourself is really, really difficult to me.
Uh-huh. People have done it.
Okay.
Oh, look out. Steve's got the wand.
Okay, so...
But anyway, those are the various series. I mean, so one attacker, two attackers, no attackers. Okay. That's where we're at here. I think probably one.
Knife.
Yeah, with knife.
The knife. Of course, the knife was never found.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not the big twist of this story or anything.
No, not at all, yeah.
Just,
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah, although the police did note that they found some knives in Oog's kitchen that could conceivably have made those wounds.
Well, I mean, realistically, who doesn't have a knife in their kitchen who could have made those wounds?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, anybody who has a set of knives has knives that could have made
these. And those knives were clean.
Yeah, they were all clean.
So Oog stabbed himself three times and then cleaned the knives and put them away.
While gushing blood.
Yeah, while spurting blood.
Yeah, exactly.
And cleaned them sufficiently so that they had no blood evidence on them, right? So that means they bleached them.
They did check them for blood, and they found
none. It's not just like a casual scrub down with the whatever sponge that has a little dish soap on it still. No, no.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because that's not going to get all the blood off of it.
Oh, no. You have to seriously be thorough about it. Yeah. I think it's fair to say that the knife was not found at the scene.
I would think it's fair to say that as well.
I think that'd be fair to say, Another twist is the doors were locked from the inside, which is why some people have called this story a locked door mystery.
A locked room mystery,
Locked room mystery. Excuse me, I got that wrong, sorry. But, yeah. And the blood spatter, by the way, is unusual, according to police, because there is that trail from the sidewalk up the stairs to the apartment door, which would be consistent with Oog getting stabbed outside or getting stabbed inside the apartment and then going outside and then coming back inside.
Which
maybe going outside to get rid of the knife.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. I know.
You're not the person who said that.
No, I'm not.
I mean,
you didn't make that up.
I didn't make that up.
Which is the thing that is most frustrating about this.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The blood spatter evidence does not indicate there was a struggle in the apartment. And because of that, the San Francisco Police Department has ruled the cause of death unknown. They're not willing to come down firmly on one side or the other, suicide versus homicide.
Didn't.
Blood spatter does indicate that Oog was moving slowly and kind of wandering around the apartment. The blood spatter being like, if he'd been running, say, in the middle of a fight, then it's the blood droplets are kind of elongated.
An elliptical. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
An elliptical. Whereas if he's just sort of moving slowly, standing still, they're just round. So he was moving slowly, which would indicate to me that, well, obviously he wasn't probably in a fight. You'd think he'd be moving rapidly to get to his phone and call police or do something, but he was probably in shock and already had lost a lot of blood and probably wasn't thinking too clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And he did walk past his cell phone and didn't try to call 911. So, you know, that kind of supports the suicide theory, along with the fact that there was nobody that we know of that would want to kill him. On the other hand, though, he was in a good mood that night. There are no previous indicators of suicidal behavior. And, of course, the knife was missing.
Yeah. Although we will say, yet again, as we do every single time we talk about suicide, just because somebody's in a good mood doesn't mean that they are not suicidal, you know, underneath it all.
Yeah.
But I agree that it doesn't seem like it's not normal. It's not standard suicide procedure, which I know there isn't actually that thing. But there are a lot of things that he did that I don't know that.
They just don't line up.
They don't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm, yeah. But, well, we'll talk about the suicide theory a little bit more. And actually, I guess theories are coming up here. So, but before we go into those juicy, juicy theories, let's take a quick break.
We run together in the rain to a cold tiled room just to find that it's totally empty and deserted before running back to your vehicle that brought us there. We do this for days and days. Eventually, you get frustrated and you just leave me on the seat of your car. In the heat and the sun and the cold of night, I watch you put other, more important things on top of me. I'm more fragile than you might think. Sure, when I'm new, I look really pristine and sturdy, but it doesn't take very much for my corners to become folded and shabby, my edges to fray quickly and fold easily. I carry your things from here to there, and while I'm designed to do just that, you ask me to do more. You ask me to hold your things for so much longer. Someday, maybe, you'll use me as a transportation device instead of a storage device. Your mother would really love this birthday card, even though it's a month late. The problem is, you just can't find the time to buy stamps. The good news is, it's really easy to buy stamps on stamps.com. Anything you can do at the post office, you can now do right from your desk with stamps.com. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your own computer and printer. And, unlike the post office, Stamps.com never closes, so you can get postage whenever you need it, 24/7. I've used it. I've loved it. It's super fast and easy. Right now, if you use the code THINKING for this special offer, you can get a 4-week trial that includes postage and a digital scale. So don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before anything else. You can click on that little radio microphone at the top and type in THINKING. That's Stamps.com with the code THINKING. Because, let's face it, you should let your letters experience the excitement of postal handling instead of the drudgery of just sitting on your dashboard.
And we're back.
Hey, I found that sandwich from last week that we took last week's break.
Oh,
thanks
really?
For saving that.
Oh, yeah, it sort of fell down between the cushions and the couch. But yeah, it's still there. The couch preserves everything. Preserves coins, sandwiches, cat litter. Well, our theory is followed to two subsets here. There's suicide and there's murder. So okay. Let's deal with suicide first.
Because that's the easiest?
Yeah, yeah. Let's get that out of the way. This is a kind of a locked room mystery. So because of that, the police sort of think that it's possible that Oog's death was a suicide. And again, they've gotten a lot of grief over this, although technically speaking, they haven't come down all the way on the side of suicide. They just said they think maybe.
I thought originally they did say suicide, and then an independent investigation was like reopened, and there was pressure from the outside. Yeah, the French opened an investigation, and they were like, no, you can't say this is a suicide. And so the San Francisco police were like, okay, fine, it's
open.
It's an open case.
Yeah, reinvestigated not just by the French, but also I think they asked the LAPD to conduct an investigation into it. I think also maybe the Marin County PD, the Marin County Sheriff's or somebody. There's been a lot of outside investigations.
Yeah, so basically it's my understanding what happened is San Francisco was like, it was suicide, obviously. And then like five other organizations said no.
if you watch the interview with the woman who makes the declaration of the cause of death is... did they actually call it suicide? I think they eventually called it unknown or something.
Yeah, it was unknown.
Unknown, but she went to weird lengths to, well, you can't, you don't have anything to prove that it's murder, so I'm saying it's unknown. And to me, the most unlikely unknown is suicide. Like, it was really weird. And that's what everybody got so up in arms about, was the fact that the SFPD could have just said, well, we said it's unknown. We don't know how, but somebody staked a flag in the ground and they all rallied around it. Yeah. And that's what really blew up in their faces.
Yeah,
it kind of did. Although I know where to go to commit murder now.
San Francisco.
Because you don't even have to work that hard to make it look like suicide.
Yeah, apparently.
No. But let's see, what was the evidence for? Okay, the front door was deadbolted from the inside. Back door was locked, although I've heard that it wasn't deadbolted.
Yeah, I heard it was a push lock.
Yeah.
Like the handle?
Yeah, the kind that you push,
the push button.
You push the button in and you pull it shut behind you.
Yeah,
and all that
or,
stuff.
You know, you twist the lock and pull it shut behind you. Either way,
a
knob.
Yeah,
lock.
A knob. Yeah. But the thing about it is, so the killer could have exited that way, but that back door just leads to a tiny enclosed courtyard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you looked at the aerials of the building and the surrounding buildings and everything.
I don't remember.
There's no way to get from that teeny courtyard to the street, except it looks like you can exit like through the basement of the apartment building. And there's a basement door that comes out on Linden Street. So maybe if you're in that courtyard and you have a key,
well, I guess
you can get out that way.
Really, you don't need a key. I mean, you guys have lived in apartments, right? You've lived
in
apartment
while.
Communities like this. It's June, right?
Yeah.
In San Francisco, it's not cold.
Mm.
Somebody's doing their laundry, props the door open.
Maybe.
It's propped open. I mean, it's not beyond the realm of possibility that that little basement door could be propped open. It would be a crazy stroke of luck for said murderer.
I wouldn't count on it if I was a murderer. Yeah.
To have that door propped open.
I was going to say, in an apartment with locked doors, in a community that has so many homeless wandering around, that's the reason that people have all those locked doors. It's why everything is you have keys.
Yeah, but we're talking a back door from an enclosed courtyard, right?
But that's... The couple of apartments ago that I was in, there was an external door that went out the back of the building, but that thing also had an automatic lock, and it always used to make me so mad. I thought, this is so dumb. Like,
was
there's going to be nobody here until the day I found a homeless guy back there.
And there was it was an enclosed little area like that? Like, literally no way in,
no way out?
Well,
no, this guy had hopped a fence, but I was like, nobody's ever going to do that.
This fence... I mean, it looked really enclosed.
It's not actually surrounded by a fence. It's surrounded by buildings.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the external door that had to have the key that you were talking about.
No, no, no. That's what we're talking about, right?
The door comes from that little courtyard. I would think that you don't really need to worry about people wandering in off the street that will get into your basement, but I would worry about people from the other buildings who have egress into that tiny courtyard too, possibly. So I would keep it mostly locked. I'm sure people left it open at least sometimes.
So, I mean, it's for me, it's not beyond the realm of possibility, but again, that would be a crazy stroke of luck.
It really would be.
For that person.
It really would be. So if somebody did stab him to death inside there, well, and then how did they leave and deadbolt the door? Well, okay.
It's a locked courtyard mystery.
Yeah, locked courtyard. So what happened on the knife? Did Oog clean the knife and put it away? That sounds about impossible.
And again, we have to reinforce that it wasn't just a cursory scrub down. You mean it would have had to have been an intense cleaning while gushing blood out of what is almost your jugular.
I mean, it's like when I've got 1 minute to live, I know I'm going to spend it cleaning.
Yeah.
Well, SFPD said the reason he went outside was to dispose of the knife.
Well, that's possible. Another theory is that he threw the knife out a window.
But
he was on the first floor.
Yeah.
But here's the one thing I was going to say.
And he's butted up against other buildings, I know.
But, okay, yeah. But when I looked at the street view, so I looked and there's a tree there and there's a pot on the ground. I was like, well, they would have searched the pot to see if the knife was in the pot.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did notice is that the front face of his building, the one that as you're looking at it directly to the right, it's bumped out about 2 feet farther into the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And it's only a 1.5-story building, so theoretically, somebody standing on Oog's patio could turn and, if they had really good aim, chuck the knife up onto that flat roof of that building next door. But that, again, is just, that's such a leap.
Especially if,
for him to do while bleeding so much and not have, you know, I mean, if he's got blood coming out of his neck and he hauls back to throw the knife, I would expect it to be like a rainbird of blood on the side of his house.
That would make some interesting blood splatter analysis there, wouldn't it? Yeah.
And again, as we were kind of talking about, like, these are wounds that are going to bleed out fast.
Mm-hmm. Very fast, yeah. And actually, from the Michael Ferenc's analysis that I read a sentence of before, he talks about the blood spatter. And he said that it appears to him that the blood spatter is just one track. In other words, if he'd gone outside, disposed of the knife, gone back inside, then there would have been a track out.
Should have been twice as much blood. Yes.
Yeah, there would have been two trails of blood. There was only one, which indicates not that he came out and went back in, but then instead that he was stabbed outside
and went in,
and then went inside.
Yeah.
So maybe he committed suicide outside. He stabbed himself repeatedly with a knife and then threw the knife away and then went inside, deadbolted the door, and expired. Okay.
That's...
yeah, I mean...
As I will just say, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It's a little silly.
It's super dumb.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I've heard some pretty dumb things.
But it's one of the dumbest. I would say it's top 25 dumbest things I've ever heard.
Yeah,
well,
it's
out there. Top 50 maybe.
Yeah, I know. So it's not. It doesn't really pass the smell test with me either. I don't know. I mean, you know, theoretically, if he stabbed himself in front of his apartment building, ran inside, threw the knife away, and ran inside, and if the police didn't search the immediate area, which you would kind of expect them to do.
They
right?
said they did.
Yeah, and they said they did. So it doesn't make any sense. Also, there was no suicide note, although it's not absolutely...
it's not a requirement.
It's not really required. I mean, there usually is, but yeah, it's not required.
Well, so here's one.
Yeah.
It's really rare, I think, I'm pretty sure, it's super rare for somebody who's about to commit suicide to make themselves a meal,
mm-hmm.
particularly one of rice and peas.
I don't know if he was a vegan or not or whatever. If it was going to be my last meal, it would be something better than that.
Yeah, and you would probably finish it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's one of the things that I saw while we were doing the research is like a number of people brought up and they said, it's really hard for me to believe it's a suicide because he made himself a meal.
Mm-hmm.
He ate. And then stabbed himself. Like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
That's a good question. Why go surfing a dating site? You know, the whole idea behind surfing dating sites is there's no...
to make future plans.
There's no...
to hook up with somebody,
absolutely no point in wasting that time,
yeah.
you know, if you're going to kill yourself. And, of course, his family and friends don't like the suicide theory, by that you guys probably are aware.
Mm-hmm.
Raised enough of a stink, of course, that we talked about the French investigation, the LAPD investigation. And the French, like, they issued, like, a 2,000-page report, I think.
It was massive.
It was massive, mm-hmm. and they were, like, pretty unequivocal that, yes, it was murder. And they did find one interesting piece of evidence that the SFPD somehow missed, I guess, was that Hoog's watch was, I guess, torn off his wrist and laying under his body when they found it.
Yeah.
And they found a set of DNA on it that did not belong to him,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting.
I don't actually think that's as necessarily damning as a lot of people make it out
to be,
because
Hoog
was out at the bar.
Yeah.
He was probably, you know, you have contact with people, and how much DNA was it? Was it just a little spot of it? Was it smeared in slobber and that's how they got it? Like,
I have no
really...
idea how, and that's the whole thing is, yeah, I mean, you can get DNA from all kinds of places.
I guess for me in the end, though, it's the fact that his watch was off of him under his body.
Mm-hmm.
It's less, I mean, yes, the DNA is interesting. It should have presented the San Francisco Police Department with a reasonable doubt to not think that it was suicide. But the fact that it was not even on him anymore, but it was under his body, is like, why would that not send up a red flag for you?
Yeah, I could see something like, you know, raising your arm is in a defensive way to ward off blows, and maybe the watch gets damaged. Maybe you get somebody's DNA on it, but at the very least gets damaged and sort of at least partially torn off.
Right.
That kind of thing.
I can't believe I'm going to kind of step up and defend the SFPD a teeny bit here and say that it is just as likely that the watch was broken prior to that and he had set it down, and in his stumbling, flailing through his apartment, he knocked it out because his apartment was in shambles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He knocks it off of something. It falls on the ground, and then he, to make the mystery deeper, intentionally falls upon it.
Or okay,
that part is me being a jerk, but he may literally have knocked it on the ground and then fallen on it, and it just happened to be that, again, they're like, well, obviously these two things were originally together, when we don't really know that.
That's fair.
It's a good point. I could picture it being like sitting on the edge of a shelf, and he's stumbling around, and he goes to grab the edge of the shelf, and he grabs
the watch.
To
catch himself.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, who knows? It's really hard. The watch is not...
Overall, overall, I think we're all in agreement that, you know, the suicide thing is just...
Suicide thing doesn't really fly.
No.
Yeah. So that leaves murder. I don't know. I like murder better than suicide.
Yeah, me too.
You liking murder?
Way more.
Yeah.
I always live through the murder.
Yeah. It's fun stuff. As I think I said, the crime scene evidence kind of indicates the stabbing took place outside the apartment.
Yeah.
And he... Yeah. Oog, went inside to get away from his attacker.
Yeah. Right.
And I can't say it's too bad he didn't call 911, but I don't think it would have made a difference, frankly, as fast as he was bleeding.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't.
No,
yeah,
I'm afraid that he didn't have enough time.
No, he was doomed, unfortunately. Poor guy. But so the question, if it is murder, what was the motivation? Who killed him and why? All of his friends say that Oog had no enemies who would want to kill him, but obviously that's not quite true.
Yeah.
Right? Let's go through some theories about possible motivations. Okay, first off, robbery murder. What do you guys think about that one?
So flesh that out for me. Let me hear what you think robbery murder means for this case.
Yeah, somebody goes to rob him, and you know, maybe he puts up a little bit of a fight, and he gets stabbed, and the attacker runs away. One of the problems I have with this, of course, is that you know, whoever it was, the robber didn't take his wallet or money or anything or his keys.
So the robber would have to have come up to his door and knocked on his door at 2:30 or 2:40 in the morning.
Exactly.
And deciding that I'm going to rob the person that lives in this house.
Yeah, that's the problem with robbery murder, is that he wasn't just walking down the street. He was actually inside, and then he came outside.
Yeah, didn't just roll him.
Can you, just for the sake of it, can you tell me how it is that we know that he was inside and went outside?
Well, the evidence...
That's better analysis as well.
Yeah. I mean, they did some analysis.
No, that he was inside and came outside. We know that the murder happened, or...
We think
the murder probably happened outside, right? But
right.
How do we know that he was inside and came outside?
The evidence is apparently because there was food on the countertop. It appeared that he had, you know, made himself a meal. And also, apparently, there was evidence that he was on his computer for about maybe half an hour before he got murdered.
I'm willing to accept the computer thing, right? But I guess for me, there is a big question. And I know I said this to disprove the suicide theory,
right? The food.
But there's no way to know. I mean, he could have made it, you know, from lunch, or he could have made it as a snack before he went to meet for happy hour.
Somebody may have said, huh, this guy's dead. There's food. Touch it. Is it warm? If it was warm when the cops got there... Then,
he would have had to have been murdered very recently because food gets real cold.
Oh, wait, no, they didn't come till 8:40 in the morning. Huh?
Yeah,
okay, never mind. I apologize.
He also had some of that food in his stomach still.
Undigested.
So, yeah, if he'd eaten it, like, I don't know if he went on his date and then went home and then went out to meet his buddies, or if he just went straight over to the
underground. So they don't really give a good time frame of, and the food was pretty undigested in his stomach, so he must have been murdered recently after eating that food.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay,
I think that was the main reason for
that.
But the computer history is pretty undeniable.
Yeah
again, I'm willing to accept that, but the food one has always been like, I don't really understand why.
Yeah, no, they found some in his gullet.
Okay.
Apparently they looked...
Okay.
That's one of the things they do. They look at the innards.
Yeah. Well, one would assume they would have also done a comprehensive search of the area for a knife, but...
Well, there's that too. Good point.
So at this point, I'm not willing to assume anything.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Call me crazy, but...
Yeah. Okay,
but I agree. Crazy. I think a random robbery murder is probably not the right
thing. No, probably not. One that's maybe... a tiny bit more likely is that he came outside, maybe he heard something, interrupted a crime in progress.
His neighbor said they heard several commotions.
Yeah.
So maybe Oog heard the same first initial commotion, and that's what drew him outside.
Yeah, that's maybe. Possible. Maybe. So
did he have a motorcycle or a car or anything?
He did have a motorcycle, yeah, and I don't know where he had it parked.
Wasn't on the street.
Presumably... I don't know where he would have put it. I mean, I guess he had it on the sidewalk in front of his apartment.
Well, you can in cities, even in Portland, you can rent, you know, spots in parking lots and stuff like that for long term for storage if you don't want to park it on the street.
Yeah,
so it's possible that
it was
there.
Street parking is just so out of control and so difficult in that city that that's why a lot of people, you know, rent a spot, you know, downtown or wherever where they keep their vehicle.
Yeah, but with a motorcycle, it's usually easier. I guess that's why I was asking those, because it sounded like that, you know, he totally could have been somebody messing with his motorcycle and he came down and was like, what are you doing?
And they stab.
Yeah, and then ran away. And at that point, you don't steal the motorcycle because you get stuck with the motorcycle.
Motorcycle wasn't in front of the house.
Incriminating.
Okay.
Because if you look at the security camera, one of the things that I watched was the time progression of the security camera, and there's a big old car sitting across the street, but there's no motorcycle there that I ever saw.
Yeah, so
well, it could have
God
been
knows where he had it. But
close. A couple cars down.
Maybe that big old car belonged to Oog, too. Who knows?
I don't think that did.
And for just for my own sake, Oog didn't smoke or anything, right? It wasn't possible that he went out for a cigarette.
You know, I don't know. It's a good point.
Okay. I think I've seen pictures of him with a cigarette in his hand. No. For some reason, I want to say that, but I can't. I'm not positive about it.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember. Myself. But I've seen a lot of pictures. There's a website that his friends have out in the way, and you can see it. We'll post a link to it. Actually, there's a ton of pictures of him. Unfortunately, some of the pictures he's wearing a Speedo. Just be warned.
Or fortunately for some of us.
But, so he might be smoking a ciggy in one of those. Although, of course, you know, you go boozing with your friends. That doesn't mean you're a regular smoker.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, that's possible. You just went outside to smoke a cigarette or something like that. And, you know, and just ran into the wrong psycho boy out there and got stabbed.
Or no.
Yeah, it's good. Or there's also the possibility of random murder. But that's right there with he interrupted a crime. Kind of the same thing. Went outside and... somebody was in a bad mood.
I guess
to have a sharp knife.
One thing that I don't see on this list is gang murder. San Francisco is pretty hotbed, especially in 2007. There's a lot of gang activity there. And I know that there are some gangs where their initiation is you go stab someone. And
is,
so
is
it's
that
not
real or is that the urban legend?
No, I think it's true.
Now, the urban legend is the one where they drive around with their headlights off.
Oh, well, I know that's an urban legend, but I've heard this and I've never seen anything that definitively said, yeah, we have reports of this and we've confirmed this is actually it and it's not just an urban legend. So that's why I'm asking, because I've always presumed based on something I can't remember that was total crap.
Oh, I've never heard that it was crap. I've always thought it was true. But I mean, it's not impossible that it was technically a random act of violence, but connected
random
to
selection,
a murder of a gang-related murder of some kind.
I'll go for that.
It doesn't explain necessarily why he was outside.
No, that's the tricky part. Yeah, I mean, somebody lured him outside, or just be like, again, he went outside to smoke a cigarette, or for some reason or another, and then, whoopsie, wrong
place,
wrong
time. Something drew him out there, yeah.
Yeah. So always that, you know, there's always that thing where somebody rings your doorbell, and you come out, and there's a paper bag on fire, just an innocent paper bag.
They're never an innocent paper bag.
No,
bags are not innocent.
No,
don't put the paper
bag out. They're made evil.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to rule out the paper bag. They didn't find any of that stuff on the porch. Another possibility is mistaken identity.
I like this one.
Yeah.
I mean, not as like a real theory, but I do like it.
Well, maybe somebody saw him and thought he was this man.
You guys know this man.
Hopefully you all know who this man is, right?
You've heard. Have you had a dream of this man?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you ever dream this man?
Yes, exactly. You do a Google on it, just this man, and you'll see a picture. And then go look at that, the drawing of this man, and look at the pictures of Oog, and you do see a resemblance.
There's some resemblance. There's probably some resemblance between this man and me.
Well, I'm not to like jump ahead or burst the bubble or whatever, but that's the point of this man. It was a composite sketch created by a sociologist as a psychological test or experiment or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole like point of this man. We've since found out.
Yeah.
But early days of this man, I was totally wrapped up in the whole idea of. He was creepy.
It is kind of creepy. I can see
it. Super creepy.
If somebody saw Oog, and let's say you've been reading about this man, and you see Oog. So even though you might think the resemblance is not totally exact, they do bear, besides just the incredibly bushy eyebrows, they do have a few other features in common.
Oog had, similar face shape.
Similar kind of hairline. I could totally see where somebody can say, oh my God, it's this man in real life. Oh my God, I must kill him.
He's been haunting my dreams and I'm going to get him.
And he's been haunting everyone's dreams, just mine, everyone's. Well, I'm doing society a favor.
Yeah, exactly. And we all know it was basically a hoax, but I don't know that it was actually out there by 2007.
2006 was when it was.
2006 was supposedly
when it really started.
When it started, so it's conceivable somebody saw Oog and thought, "Oh my God, it's this man."
Middle of 2007 when Oog dies, so it's had plenty of time to spread around the internet.
Yeah, and so this guy is like, "Oh my God, I'd never dreamed of this man, but now I've just seen him in real life. Now he's going to be in my dreams, and God knows what he's going to be doing to me. I must kill him.
I've dreamed of him a lot, and
or maybe there's that too. Yeah. I think the whole idea that all these people were dreaming of this guy was the hoax part. I don't think anybody. Really was. I never dreamed of him.
I mean, this man is a kind of a mystery enigma in and of itself. It's not really unsolved anymore, but we could do an entire episode on it, so I won't delve too far into it.
Oh, that's a good point. That would be a good Devin episode.
It's solved. But I mean, it's not unheard of that people kill. I mean, there was that murder, the two girls who killed that other girl because Slenderman told them to.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, mental illness is a thing. And when you get wrapped up in certain internet memes, I mean, there are a lot of problems with this theory, certainly.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I believe it more than I believe suicide.
it's more credible.
Which I know is crazy, but I believe it more than I believe suicide at this point. So I don't know.
So let's go. Yeah. So we'll sort of give that a maybe. Let's see, what other theories do we have? He was murdered by a psycho chick that he met online.
I mean, it's possible.
Always possible. Some Glenn Close type woman. Maybe
fatal attraction. Yeah.
Maybe the one that he had met earlier that evening.
Could have been one that he met earlier, a month earlier, who had been tracking him and had finally decided that to show her love, she had to stab him.
Or felt scorned.
Yeah.
Because she thought they had something special and more.
And then caught him out.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Caught him out. Next thing you know, stab, stab.
Because to her, they were in a relationship. To him, it was really nice that one time. And thank you very much. I've got to go.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, that happens, huh?
It does.
It does, matter of fact. The only downside of the psycho chick thing is the whole stab. The thing about stabbing somebody is
it's not easy.
Well, I mean, you got to push the knife in, and then you got to pull it back out again.
Yeah, it's not easy.
It's
not
as easy as it looks in the movies. No.
So, okay, let me ask you a question because I didn't ever see this in the reading. Okay, do we know generally what they think the size and the length of this knife was?
No.
Okay.
I'm sure that the ME is medical examiner probably was able to come up with a good estimate of
ballpark.
The size.
Okay, but if we think about this, let's just say your average steak knife, not serrated, but just a steak knife.
Uh-huh.
That's a relatively thin and narrow blade. And that's not too hard versus, you know, the big kitchen knife you have that's like 2 inches long at the back and about a foot long. That would, I could see, being difficult to getting it in and then it wedging against body parts and bones and being harder to pull out.
Oh, it's not just a wedging in thing.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, your body.
Extension. Yeah.
collapses on in and sucks that thing in, right? Well,
and that's why I was asking if it was originally I was wondering about it, is do we know if it was a single or a double-sided blade?
I do.
Because
not
if
know.
It's sharp on both sides, that makes it much easier because you can literally cut it back out as you pull.
Yeah, and
sorry, Devin.
Okay.
Look on your face said you didn't like that.
I did not
phrase.
Like that. I don't know why I didn't like that. I just didn't.
Yeah, I don't know, but it maybe wasn't a huge knife because it did go into his lung. But I'm trying to measure with my fingers here the distance between my collarbone and my lung. It's not, I guess it's not that far. It could have been maybe a 6-inch, 8-inch.
Yeah,
knife,
that's not a big
like
knife.
It's not a small knife either,
no,
though.
It's big
that's not a knife. This is a knife.
It's not like a paring knife. It's not a steak knife, right? I mean, that's like a kitchen knife at least.
My steak knives are about 6 inches long.
Yeah, no. It depends on the steak knife, too. Not a flimsy steak knife, I hope, because that wouldn't survive even probably the first or second stabbing. But
I mean,
I have steak knives that are stout enough to stab people 3 times, no doubt.
Have you washed them in bleach?
No.
You should.
I will. I mean, no, when it's necessary, I will do that.
But when?
That's the only downside of the whole psycho chick is just, I think it takes more strength. But there are women out there, especially if you're a psycho, you know, as we all know from the movies, psychos are super strong.
Mm-hmm. It comes with the diagnosis, yes.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. It just seems to.
Super strength.
The doctor looks at you and says, you're psycho, and also...
you're psycho,
you
don't come near me.
You have super strength.
Yeah.
You're a superhero.
Super villain.
Sorry, yeah, super villain.
Oh, by the way, for all our psycho chick listeners, I apologize in advance. Please, no kill I.
Yeah.
that was actually Steve's idea.
It was, yeah.
It was.
I wrote this.
So there's one more theory.
Only one more theory.
And I like this one.
Murdered by a jealous boyfriend or husband.
Yeah. This has a lot of traction.
It really does, you know, because let's face it. I mean, he was like, as his friend said, he didn't care. They had a boyfriend or a husband. He didn't care. And really, that takes care of the whole problem with upper body strength and pulling the knife out and everything like that.
Well, some of the problem.
Some of the problem, actually. Well, not every guy is super strong, let's face it. And, I'm thinking that's the best motivation.
Well, that's the person that has the motive.
Yeah, I mean...
You find where this a-hole lives.
It's a more common motive than being a psycho and going berserk and having a Glenn Close kind of thing where you're obsessed with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, more than, like, random, right? It's more likely than random.
Oh, yeah.
The only problem I have with this is that it... Like, a normal dude who flies off the handle and gets mad and goes stab somebody to death and then never talks about it ever again and lives a totally normal life.
Uh-huh.
Like, that is insane. That's crazy.
Well, you don't know that happened. He might have actually gone off and gotten thrown in jail for
That's
assault,
true. I mean, I guess he could have, yeah.
You know,
could
or
be that
stabbing
kind of guy.
Somebody else. And, this is one of the reasons criminals get caught is they're stupid and they talk.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe this guy was actually smart enough to just keep his friggin' mouth shut and never say a word about it to anybody.
There are a lot of unsolved crimes because there are a lot of perpetrators who do that.
Yeah.
They do
yeah.
it and they tell nobody.
Smart move there, huh?
Yeah, alternately, yeah. right, I mean, there is the possibility he's got anger issues, right? I mean,
yeah,
clearly
probably.
Has some anger issues, gets tossed in jail for assault.
Probably.
And then, you know, a couple of years later gets released because guess what? Assault ain't murder.
No.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you know.
And he
realizes,
again.
Oh, yeah, I should probably not tell anyone about that.
Uh-huh. Smart move.
Yeah.
yeah.
I don't know. It's
but yeah,
crazy.
It just, yeah, to me, it's just more common, I think. It's a better motive to me because, I mean, people that are nuts enough to just stab somebody because they're obsessive. They're not nearly as common as people who are willing to stab somebody because they had sex with their wife.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you know, that's a good motive for murder.
There's been a lot
a
of
really
killing over that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a frequent one. I don't know that it's a good one,
well,
but it's
okay.
pretty frequent.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I don't mean good as in
it's a more motivating
yeah.
factor.
Yeah.
It's just a lot more common.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do we got here? So, okay, we got suicide. We've got he thought he was this man. We've got the jealous husband. I'm going to go with jealous husband. What do you guys think?
Yeah. I mean, just for the sake of because I like it, I like that it's this man.
This man,
but
yeah.
I think probably jealous husband or boyfriend is...
Seems more likely.
The most likely.
It kind of does.
I to a degree, I kind of like the idea of the interrupted crime, because that would also explain, because the neighbor says there were two or three loud bangs.
Yeah.
So if there's a crime going on or something's happening outside, that to me is what would draw him out. Mm. Because he's got a peephole on the door, and if there is some angry guy banging on the door and screaming, and I go to the peephole and I'm like, huh, that's a really angry dude. I'm not opening the door.
You know, it might be that Oog actually carried the murder weapon to the murder scene. He might have, having seen this guy out there, might have said, well, I can't avoid this, but I'm going to grab a knife just in case.
I think that's a pretty easy confrontation to avoid. You wait for the guy to bang on your door for 5 minutes, and then you call the cops.
You could do that, too.
You know, like he
didn't go out with a knife.
He wouldn't have had to go out there, but well, I feel like he might have been curious enough to see what was going on and made the interruption.
There are definitely those personality types, though, that are like, oh, yeah, okay, bring it.
Uh-huh. True.
I got this knife in my hand. You are on my property. I'm going to call the cops on you. Bring it. Shut up. Get out of here. Yeah, I slept with your wife. What? Oh, oops, you have that knife and you're stabbing me. This was a bad idea.
This did not go according to plan.
Right? Oops. I mean, that for me to get in that mindset is not so hard. I can see how he could have talked himself up into that. I agree it was dumb, but
in the end, I'm sure he regretted it. He didn't have long to regret it.
Yeah, so that's the silver lining of that.
Yeah, but he might have actually gone out there with a knife to confront this guy.
Totally.
Except that I don't know that we know that any knives were missing that anybody knows of. But then again, that's hard to track down. Nobody knows how many knives are in my house. Never mind.
Yeah, I don't know either. You lose knives from sets. And actually, you can buy knives individually, too. Like, you know, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a lot in my house.
Yeah. Hey, well, okay, another mystery solved. And sorry, Chippy, we left you out again. We'll work you in next time, I promise. But time for a little housekeeping here. You probably want to know if we have a website. Well, we do have a website, finally. It's called thinkingsidewayspodcast.com. If you want to contact us to tell us how much you love us, whatever, we have one of those email things, too. It's called thinkingsidewayspodcast@gmail.com. And, of course, you can find us, besides our website, you can find stuff out there like our episodes, which you can listen to. And what else? We've got that new list also of all of our episodes.
We've got the episode list on there.
We've got our episode list. Makes it easy to find past episodes. And also, we're on iTunes, among other places, where you can subscribe. You can download our stuff. You can rate us, review us, preferably a good review and a high rating. We'd like those a lot better. And go upvote a lot of 5-star reviews, too. We like that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely do that. Streaming, we are everywhere. Also, Google Play, besides everywhere. You can stream us.
Google Play not included in everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. What else? Social media. We are on the Facebook, where we have a group and a page. So join the group. And what else do they want to do?
Like the page.
Oh, yeah, like the page. Okay. And then just, you know, like sort of, you can sort of lurk and read stuff, or you can post stuff or whatever, you know, have conversations and stuff like that. And
just
tell us
lurk.
How much you love us. Yeah. We're also on Twitter, where we are thinking sideways, not thinking, but thinking, no G. And we have a subreddit, Thinking Sideways. And what else? Merchandise. You want to know where you can buy cool merch. So we're on Zazzle and Redbubble. Where we have, what, shirts, mugs, stickers.
Yep, links for those are on the website.
Yeah, I think we've got a nightlight, you know, but you probably will find the shirts and mugs more useful. And that's about it, I think.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Nope.
That's all I got.
Yeah. All right,
I wouldn't look at the list, though.
Yeah, and obviously, if you are Ooze Killer, you know, I know a way to make $100,000. Just let me know, and I will split it with you, okay? All right, till next week, guys. Toodaloo.
Bye, guys.
Snap, snap, snap.